Lord God, please give us true eyes today. Help us to see ourselves clearly in the light of your Son. Please help us to face the truth and turn to Jesus. Amen. Most blokes don't think that they ever need to see a doctor. Now, I don't know why that is for every man, but one of the reasons I'm reluctant to see a doctor is I'm worried that I'm actually not sick enough. I'm worried that I'm going to make the appointment, waste the doctor's time, get there, and the doctor's just going to say, look, mate, you are nowhere near sick enough. You just need to harden up, princess. Get out of my office here. And that would be really embarrassing, wouldn't it? That would be very embarrassing to discover that you weren't sick enough and you're just wasting the doctor's time, because there's plenty of people who are out there who are sick enough. Now, a few years ago, my tailbone started to get sore. It started when I went to see Les Mis at the movies with Anita, and we went to one of the cheapest cinemas around Brisbane. And as I was sitting there in that movie, I started to get sore. I got sorer and sorer throughout the movie. But I thought, look, it's just this cheap cinema with the cheap chairs. I probably sat on a bucket of popcorn, because one of the ways this cinema saves money is by not cleaning between the movies. And so there was just popcorn everywhere. It's probably just a bit of popcorn hurting me. Or maybe it's the fact that for the last 7 years, I've not sat through a movie because of having little kids. We watch movies at home in about 15-minute spots before going to bed. Maybe I'm just out of practice. I just don't even know how to sit down anymore. Maybe that's why I'm getting sore. But the pain didn't go away for days. It didn't go away for weeks. It always hurt to sit. But I just thought, look, it's going to get better. What's happened is I've probably got a bruise or I've pulled some kind of muscle. Whatever it is, I'm young and strong. It's going to get better. But Anita is much, much smarter than me. And she got sick of my whinging and insisted that I see a doctor. And eventually, I got smart enough to listen to Anita, and I went to see the doctor, and when the doctor saw me, instantly she gave me a prescription for some very strong antibiotics and said, come back to me in 3 days, you're going to be going to hospital and you're going to be having surgery. You see, I had this belief, this false belief, that I wasn't sick, that I didn't need a doctor, that just given a bit of time, surely I was going to get better. But I was sorely wrong, and I intended that pun. Yes, thank you, Candy Gold, I did intend that pun. You only see a doctor if you think that you're sick. But I'm never sick enough to need a doctor. I believe that I am young and fit and strong, but it doesn't matter what I think, it's the truth that matters. And the truth is very often different from what I believe. At the moment, working our way through Luke's Gospel. At the moment, we're just at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Last week, we heard about Jesus' mission. His mission is to bring a kingdom of freedom, to release the captives and bring good news to the poor. As we keep following Jesus around Galilee, today we're going to meet a bunch of people, and we're going to see how they think of themselves before Jesus. Most of them are not like myself and doctors. Most of them realise that they need Jesus. We're also going to meet some people who think that they are in no need of the freedom that Jesus offers. They're deluding themselves like I often do about my health. And so the challenge for you and me today is to take an honest look at ourselves and our spiritual health and ask ourselves, are we going to face up to the truth and see the doctor? Now, the first person we meet, Simon, is an example of someone who met Jesus and very quickly faces up to the truth. He is a fisherman, and he meets Jesus in what seems to be quite a coincidence. Jesus is in need of a stage to preach from, and Simon's boat is the nearest thing. After Jesus has finished preaching, he asks Simon to do something incredibly stupid, to go fishing in broad daylight, and to do it after a night when there was no fish to be found. But Simon does it anyway. And how do you describe it? Literally, he gets an overflow of fish. They were tossing them back out of the boat to stop it from sinking. And instantly, as he's tossing out that fish, Simon realizes that he's in the presence of someone special. It might be a prophet, maybe an angel. I reckon at this point he doesn't really know, but he reckons that this man, Jesus, somehow this bloke is connected to God. And Simon knows himself. He knows that he's not worthy. He's a sinner. And he's terrified about what it could mean to be in the presence of someone like Jesus who's quite clearly connected with God. But then a second miracle occurs. Jesus gives him a job. Instead of telling Simon, yes, you are a sinner and God's going to punish you, or instead of shaming him, Jesus recruits Simon and his colleagues, James and John, to a new job of bringing people into God's kingdom. So read along with me from verse 1, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It's on page 998 of these Bibles in the pew. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee, and two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now these men are taking a huge gamble, aren't they? They're leaving behind their income, maybe their families, to follow this bloke they've only just met. But then again, it's not that much of a gamble, is it? Jesus has just shown that he can provide for them. And so that's the first event. Simon meeting Jesus and facing up to his sin. In the second event, we meet someone who is well aware that they are unclean, and they throw themselves on Jesus' mercy and ask him to cleanse them. Did you see that in verse 12? The guy asked to be cleansed, not healed. Now this is because, according to the law of Moses, the Jewish law, people with leprosy weren't just considered sick, but were unclean. They were excluded from society. In Leviticus 13, you can read about these laws. It's quite a detailed read. You want to look at it now, you can have a look at it when you get home. Leviticus 13, summary is, these guys, they had to dress in a way that made them look unclean. They had to live alone in the bush. They were excluded from Jewish society and from Jewish religion. So they were excluded from God. There was no chance of being deluded about your sickness in this situation. Your whole life screamed out the truth, I'm a sick and unclean person. And so it's no wonder that this man sounds so desperate when he speaks with Jesus. But he's more than just desperate. He trusts Jesus' power and ability completely. He says with no hesitation, you can make me clean. The only question in his mind is, well, will Jesus do it? And so he goes and begs Jesus. And Jesus is willing. He heals him and sends him off to the priest to have his miraculous cleanness confirmed so he can re-enter society. Verse 12, And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he, that is Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I reckon this bloke is pretty clever, isn't he? There was no use pretending that he wasn't sick and he wasn't unclean. There was no way that he could just keep living his life normally. And so he responds to Jesus in the only way he could, to beg Jesus to intervene, for Jesus to show mercy to him. This event shows Jesus' power and authority. It also shows the right way to respond to Jesus, to face the truth about ourselves and to beg Jesus for help. The next person we meet is equally aware that he needs help. But unlike the leper, this man doesn't beg Jesus for help. In fact, he's mostly passive through the whole encounter. And although the title in our Bible is probably something like Jesus Forgives and Heals a Paralytic, as you know, that wasn't originally written by Luke, that was written by someone in the 1970s or something, that's what it says, our focus actually should be on the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. That's what this story, this part of the story is about. Have a look down at verse 20. What would you expect Jesus to say when a paralyzed man, a paralyzed person appears in front of him? I wouldn't have expected him to start talking about sin. This bloke can't move. That's the issue. Why do you reckon Jesus starts talking about sin? Well, Jesus is using this situation to demonstrate the authority and freedom he's come to bring. Remember last week, Jesus has come to announce freedom. And he wants to talk about that kind of freedom. We're told up in verse 17 that the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, have come from all over the country to check Jesus out. And so Jesus starts talking about sin because he wants to get to the heart of the issue. Verse 17, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a better man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So which one is easier? The answer must be neither. I'm not going to go around claiming the authority to forgive sins. I'm also not going to go around claiming and telling people, go around to their hospital beds and say, look, get up, because for me, both are equally impossible. But not for God. And that's the point. Jesus, by showing he has the power and the authority to do the physical thing, paralyzed man walking, it shows that he also has the authority to do the spiritual thing, forgive sins. We started today with Simon, a fisherman who met Jesus, recognized himself as a sinner, and then dropped everything to follow Jesus. Then we met two men who were well aware of their illness and inability, the leper and the paralytic. And both of them knew that what they needed to do was to ask Jesus for help. Our final event brings together sin and sickness. Because sickness, being unclean and unable, is a metaphor for sin, being sin sick. The leper, the paralyzed person, they couldn't do anything to fix their situation. And it's the same with our sin. In this final event, we've got almost a mirror image of the first event, the one with Simon. At the beginning, Jesus called Simon the fisherman. At this event, Jesus calls Levi the tax collector. You know, remember how Simon responded to Jesus and that huge catch of fish? "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." In this last event, we don't hear Levi saying anything about being a sinner. But I wonder if he doesn't have to, because the Pharisees do that job for him. Straight away, they tell him and us that this man is a sinner. And although it's rude for the Pharisees to label people this way, and it's hypocritical, it is true. Tax collectors were sinners in two ways. They were collaborators and they were thieves. They were working for an oppressive foreign empire, and they had a tendency to siphon off some money for themselves. But the issue that the Pharisees have here, it's not with Levi. They don't have an issue with the tax collectors today. They've got an issue with Jesus. They take Jesus to task for eating with these sinners. Implicitly, he's approving of them. But Jesus answers their accusation in a way that just shows the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That last verse is the key. "I've not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." As Jesus says that, he is being really cunning and ironic. He doesn't really think that the Pharisees and teachers are healthy or righteous, but that they think they are. The Bible is clear, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. A few weeks ago, we saw Jesus being tempted and resisting. And then we saw that genealogy before that event, that long line of failures. Every single one of them failures because they were not righteous. They were not able to say no to temptation, only Jesus could. The Pharisees, the teachers, well, it's like my attitude to my own health. I won't see a doctor because I don't think I'm sick. They won't come to Jesus because they don't think that they're sinful. In fact, they use this to separate themselves from those that they label as sinful. They look down on the sinners to reinforce their own delusion of righteousness. And the irony continues because Jesus has come for people who know that they need him. For the unclean lepers and the unable paralyzed people, for the fishermen and tax collectors who know they are sinners. Jesus is God's King, God's Son. He is the only one who is righteous. The only one who constantly says no to temptation and yes to God. But who does he want to hang out with? Who does he come for? He wants to hang out with sinners. The only righteous one wants to hang out with the sinners. And he doesn't label them or reinforce them. He doesn't need to label them or look down on them to reinforce his own sense of righteousness. But he welcomes them and brings them to repentance. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do you need Jesus? As you meet Jesus in the light of his reality, are you able to accept the truth about yourself? that you're like the unclean leper, excluded from God. That you're like the unable paralytic, needing God's help. That there are things you need to repent of. Words that you know you shouldn't have said, things you should have done but didn't. Just like I was deluded, and quite often I'm deluded about my need for a doctor, thinking, oh God, I don't need to see a doctor. I reckon many people, myself included, are deluded when it comes to our spiritual health. We like to think of ourselves as good people. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinners. We label other people like that. Bikies who cause innocent people to live in fear, or men who commit domestic violence, or those who prey on and abuse little children, or the one punch, the coward punch killers. They're the people who need to repent. If anyone needs Dr. Jesus, it is them. But the rest of us, we're righteous. We're good people. We don't need Jesus. Jesus came to blow away that delusion. We can only think we are righteous for so long until we meet the truth, when we see what righteousness really is in Jesus. And then you've got to face the fact. We all need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. Whether you've been a Christian since you're a little kid or you're not one now, we all need Jesus. You need to face up to the truth. Stop pretending that you're doing okay on your own. Is today the day that you need to make an appointment to see the doctor and admit that you need Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that through Jesus we can see the truth about ourselves, our inability and uncleanness and our sin. We can see how unworthy we are of you and how needy we are of Christ. We thank you that Jesus promises to spiritually heal us and cleanse us, to forgive us and reconcile us to you. We thank you that Jesus came for sinners like us. Please help us to face the facts, to acknowledge that we are not righteous, but that we are sinners. Please help us to realize our need for Jesus and to throw ourselves on his mercy. Amen.